Let's bring up Senator Ray's bill first. Senate Bill 323, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. If you address the State Affairs Committee substitute, actually the bill is, in its original form, was modeled after the State of Oregon's law, and it provides that young persons between the age of 13 and 17 are denied driving privileges for alcohol or controlled substance violations. And looking at the committee substitute, Mr. Chairman, as a analysis of it, briefly, Section 1 adds new language to the existing sections, which states after an adjudicative hearing, and we have to understand that all minors do not go to court for violations. So this is an adjudicative hearing for a specific violation, or as mentioned, a minor's driver's license permit or privilege to obtain a license will be suspended. Section 2 adds new language providing that the court can revoke a minor's driver's license permit or privilege to obtain a license. This is for specific violations, they can do that. Allows the court that priority. Section 3 adds a new language to the definition of a driver's license. It fixes a loophole in the definition of a license. Because of the successful lawsuit of Roberts versus the State of Alaska, the state could not and cannot at this time suspend the right to drive if there is no license to suspend. Section 4 has new language, but it's a drafting error, and I would petition the committee to eliminate that section. It's no longer necessary. It's a...
It's already out.
Section 4.
Senator, that's comment 3.
Section 5 has new language. The court can forward the names of juveniles who were adjudicated for these violations to the Department of Public Safety, and the traffic offenses and driver's license action may not be disclosed without the court's permission if taken under that section. And then Section 6, of course, is effective date clause. That's briefly what the law contains.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Senator Ziegler.
I don't know much about the Senator's bill, but let's go over page 2, Senator, section 2. As I read this, a 20-year-old kid has played a softball over at Sandy Beach and has a couple of bears. He's going to lose his driver's license?
Well, this has between the ages of 13 and 17.
All right, a 16-year-old kid has a bear over at Sandy Beach playing a softball game. He loses his driver's license for this?
If he gets caught.
If he gets caught and he's prosecuted for it, yes, sir.
I can't buy it. What's that got to do with driving?
Well, it's going under the assumption that if he will violate the law of drinking alcoholic beverages or controlled substances.
Why don't you say you can't babysit for the next 6 months? You can't go to movies on Saturday night. Why take his driver's license away? If one he has.
Everybody sees something different in the law, Senator, and whatever.
Is there anybody else that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 323? Does the committee have a pleasure?
I move to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Any objections to that? So done. Does the committee wish to take any further action today?
Well, I'm late. Is it all right to move the bill with individual recs or not? Are there problems?
It's all right with me.
Oh, I'll move the, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the bill with individual recommendations.
Any objections?
Forward.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate your consideration.
It's the last time we've seen this here, right?
It's the first time you saw him. I'll be back with the bill taking away the babysitting privileges and going to movies next.
Senate Bill number 464, an act relating to the duties of the Commission on Judicial Conduct. We've had this one around for a while. Does anybody wish to testify on Senate Bill 464? Any proposed action by the committee?
Why are we doing this? Is this so that the Judicial Council will have all the information when recommending a judge for retention or not?
Senator Ziegler, do you know?
No, I don't know. Senator Roy, I think, was asked to put this bill in. And I see that we want to make sure the Judicial Council passes on the qualifications of all these people, and I suppose it's just going to become a more complete dossier on some offending judge. So I see nothing.
I suspect you could have some cases where you have a district judge that gets reprimanded and it only goes to the Chief Justice, and a vacancy comes up to the Superior Court and the district judge puts his name in, and the Judicial Council has no recommendation. Okay, the chair will entertain a motion.
Move the bill with individual recommendations.
Any objections? So done.
You want to keep them?
See that great editorial cartoon in the Daily News today?
No, what was it?
All the sacred cows going through the legislative slaughterhouse.
I can't hear you, Mr. Chairman.
All the sacred cows going through the legislative slaughterhouse, and he says, look at the terror in their eyes. And one guy, the other guy says, you mean the sacred cows? And the guy says, no, the politicians. Okay, so SJR 41, Senator Figgs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a resolution that was requested for me to introduce by Commonwealth North, who has been working long and hard for many years on strengthening, researching, and looking at the constitutional amendment in the state of Alaska on a spending limit. And as you know, in the ballot this year, the spending limit will come forward for a vote of the people to either continue it or not continue it. And this is a resolution filling in some of the gaps and the holes, and giving the people a choice of enacting a spending limit, which with the Commonwealth North fields will be a meaningful spending limit instead of just a sham. The present constitutional limit, as you know, limits the annual appropriations to $2.5 billion. It provides for several exceptions to this limit and allows it to rise according to the changes in population and inflation which have occurred since 1981. The present limit can be exceeded for capital projects only if the expenditure is approved by the voters. The present limit will be reconsidered by the voters, as I said, during this election. SJR 41 will change the basis for calculating the appropriation limit, provide both a spending and a revenue component. The spending component would tie the appropriation limit to the previous year's appropriation plus a population inflation adjustment factor. The revenue component would tie the limit to the unrestricted revenue forecast plus a population and inflation adjustment factor. For a fiscal year, the lesser of the two components would become the appropriation limit. The resolution would also expand the safety valve provision. If the voters approve, the limit can be exceeded for an operational appropriation as well as a capital one. Otherwise, the proposed constitutional amendment has the same features as the present law. One-third of the annual appropriations would continue to be reserved for capital projects and loans. Permanent fund dividends, revenue bond proceeds, debt service, and non-state restricted revenues would continue to be excluded from the limit, and it would be resubmitted to the voters at the 1990 election. If passed this year, the new limit will apply to the FY88 budget, FY89, and FY90, and then it would appear on the elections.
Is anybody here to testify on this legislation?
You just heard testimony.
Anybody else in the public? No, he's back.
Go ahead.
What is your intent to do with the bill? Do you want to move it on?
I would like to move it on. Give them a chance to. I'm surprised there's no testimony here, but I'd like to move it on and see how it fares. And I am doing this at the request of a group of citizens that have worked hard and long on this. See how they do. I don't know how successful they'll be in the House, who doesn't seem to want to have a spending limit. But I think they plugged the loopholes that they perceive were in the current spending limit. It certainly would operate.
Mr. Chairman, you're back. I would move the resolution with individual recommendations.
Objections? So done. Well, let's do this. Let's do this.
I have been aware of the alacrity with our current chairman moves.
It's really relaxed, isn't it? Where are you now, sir?
Well, I'm looking at the governor's reserve bills, I think. And I want to know if there's anybody here. Well, no, let's move on to Senate Bill 412. Senator Fakes claims against the state.
I have no claims against the state. None that I want to talk about. Oh, okay. This one is being put in at the request of the court system. It was amended. Let's see, is it amended in state affairs? Yes.
What if we don't have it? I don't have it.
No. I told a story. It isn't. This allows. Is someone here from the court system?
Carla, of course, I testified on Tuesday.
Oh,
essentially,
oh, okay.
What was their testimony? The favor?
Oh, yes.
Did they request any changes?
No. This is at their request.
Is there anybody that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 412?
I'd move the bill with individual recs, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections? Okay, you can take off. I want to hear testimony if we have it on the Senate bill.
Right away. I'll stay.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 34, Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the use and expenditure of state money. And Senate Bill Number 362, an act related to the Constitutional Appropriation Limitation and Budget Reserve Fund, and providing for an effective date are interrelated bills. Isn't that correct? Is there anybody here that wishes to testify on either of the bills? Please step forward and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gordon Harrison. I'm with the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, and I appreciate this opportunity to answer whatever questions you may have and discuss with you these companion pieces of legislation. The Governor's Budget Reserve Fund idea and material on it has been circulated now for some time, so I won't make a formal presentation on it unless you feel it would be helpful to do so. I'll confine my introductory remarks to the observation that both these pieces of legislation remain very high priorities of the governor, and we feel that they are imperative for good fiscal management of the state of Alaska, and we see that these bills, if enacted, would do much to contribute to fiscal stability of the state as well as economic stability of the state. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
I have a question. I read in the newspaper this morning where the governor wants to use $500 million from various windfall accounts that we have in hand right now. Where does he propose to get the reserve that he wants to establish? Where's the cash coming from to establish the reserve?
Well, there's two parts to that question. One is, The constitutional spending limit itself would provide a mechanism to put money into the fund if there were future windfalls or if the state's revenue were to increase in the future. If it were to be capitalized now with an appropriation, we foresee at a minimum the use of the rainy day account and other windfalls that may not be necessary for getting us through the FY87 budget.
What windfalls could be there?
Our calculations show now a rainy day account of something over $400 million, $415 million, something like that. If the 8G were to be available, that would be another $50 or so million. We have our eye on, in our scratch sheets now, up to $500 million to be available to capitalize the fund.
Now, is that above and beyond what he's proposing to spend next fiscal year?
Yes.
How does that balance?
Pardon?
How does that balance with the existing windfall accounts? Where's the governor's budget coming down?
We foresee the need to use the ARCO money and probably the TAPS money that does not go into the rainy day account to get us through FY87.
How much is that total?
Oh, about 335 and 243.
500 million. So how do we get the balance of the $1 billion shortfall? Is the governor going to give us another budget, or?
Well, he's saying rainy day account.
No, that's for next year. It goes in this, that's what they're going to do this one.
We got a $1 billion shortfall in 86, 87.
We are working with a revised budget, and we'll probably present a revised budget sooner, I hope, rather than later. There are some substantial cuts in that. There will be some reappropriations. There will be the use of some reserves. And we will meet our shortfall.
Are you balancing for next year also?
For FY88?
Yes, sir.
We have not put together a detailed FY88 budget. I think our feeling is that it's premature to do so.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman.
The next governor is going to be Senator Fink.
Yes, thank you. For the last 2 years, we have been in a deficit position when we have begun our budgets. The revenues are going down. Why would you think it's not relevant to do at least some sketch plans for the 88 budget when in the last 2 years we've had a deficit? We have a deficit for the 86 budget. Why would 87's budget be any different with a dramatic additional shortfall of revenues for FY88? I propose to you, sir, you don't balance, and you're not doing 1988 because you can't balance.
Senator, I think that we indeed can balance. We are very mindful of the problem at FY88. In fact, that is why we are urging the adoption of a budget reserve fund and a capitalization of that fund with up to $500 million.
Are you all
we
planning?
We will be able to get through FY88 and FY87.
Are you planning to raise the permanent fund for FY88?
No, Senator, we're not.
Well, then I still don't know how you plan to balance.
Well, as you know, Senator, we are working on a revised budget, and there have been exchanges of ideas, and I think that the finance committees and the chief of staff are exchanging numbers, and I don't have in front of me the current refined version of exactly where we are, but I think these things will emerge in the next few days.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Is there anybody else who want to testify on these two bills? Let's leave it at that then. I don't want to move these bills without the chairman of the committee here. And, you know, I essentially favor these two pieces of legislation, but I would like to see the members balance before I'm going to support moving them out of the Senate. I'm not going to support a buffer zone if there's no money to fund it. That's just, that's sort of a sham. But I hope we can find the money, and I'll be interested in looking at those same figures too. Is there anything else coming before the Judiciary Committee? Great, Judiciary Committee adjourned.